Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Oh, someone's knocking at the door right now. Hello? Someone knocking at the door? Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. Isn't that funny? Just as soon as I start talking, someone knocks on the door. You ever had that happen to you? Anyway, I wasn't there last week, and BBS Radio did a rerun for me, but I'm back in live this week. Let me see who's at the door. Okay. And I hope you had a good week. This last week, things were going pretty good for me. No major problems, thanks to God, right? I woke up this morning, and I went to a Toastmasters meeting. For those of you that have listened to my show before, I'm a Toastmaster, which means I practice public speaking. Jackie, close the door, please. Thank you. And I actually just got the highest award given to me in the recent past called Distinguished Toastmaster. And that means I've achieved the pinnacle of success with this public speaking organization. I've been a member since 1998 when I lived in Cleveland for 2 years. I was a member of two clubs. And then from 2000 to 2008, I wasn't a member. And then in 2008, I joined three clubs in Alexandria, Virginia. And then I moved to San Antonio in 2010. And from 2010 to 2012, I also wasn't a member. And then in 2012, I joined a club in Fort Sam Houston, where I was assigned to. And I've been a Toastmaster ever since. From 2012 to 2025, altogether 27 years since I first joined Toastmaster, but over 17 years total as a Toastmaster. So we went to this meeting, which is usually held the first and third Saturday of each month. Try getting up in the morning at 9:30 and being in a room full of about maybe 10 or more people and then having to get up and talk in front of them while they listen to you. It can be challenging, but we've done it so often that it's not too bad nowadays. I gave a speech, and it was a 5 to 7 minute speech. And although I don't like to have to give a speech where I can't really complete all my thoughts like I can on my radio show, which lasts for 55 minutes, the 5 to 7 minute speech went well, and I was able to put out some information about what I believe in regarding Jesus, the man who walked the earth about 2,000 years ago. The title of my speech was, Let It Be Him. And my point was, I want to be like Jesus. I know there's a lot of other people out there that also want to be like Jesus. My objective for my speech was to talk about a leadership style that I like. And so I began talking about nowadays in our world, on this planet, we have many people who are great leaders. There's no doubt about it. Presidents, countries, televangelists, preachers, sports figures who earn millions of dollars, people that we admire, that we want to emulate, role models for us, right? However, there's a minor problem with that. Actually, it can change into a major problem, in my opinion, and that is, to give you an example, I went to a Toastmasters district, which is the largest area outside of or inside of region and international. You have a club, you have an area, a division, and then a district. And there's a lot of different districts. I'm in District 55. So we had a conference last week, over the weekend. It was a yearly conference, an annual conference. And they had two different speech contests, a tall tales contest and an international speech contest. And of course, the people who were in the contest were the finalists, and so very good. And they give great speeches, all of them. It was incredible and hard to choose the winner. But talking about them, one could want to be like them. And I said so to one person. I said, I want to be like you growing when I grow up, kind of joking, half joking. And he looked at me and said, thank you. But he really knew I was joking around. And the thing is, though, that there was only one winner in each contest, and all the others came in second and third place, and then there was fourth and fifth and sixth place. I guess you can call them contestants. So only one first place winner. The rest were basically losers, right? Even second and third place. If you don't get first place, you lost, right? But with winning and losing, there's something that doesn't seem quite right about that system. And competition, in my opinion, doesn't really bring the best of us out. Cooperation does. Now we need competition, or we have needed it before in the past. I'm going to take a drink. Bye. See you later. My God, keep you safe. My wife's going out, going to a restaurant, and then going to work out. And yes, when we're young, you know, in school, the competition that we have helps us grow. But outside of that, there seems to be a better way, because who wants to lose? Who likes to lose? As hard as they work and they play, it seems like losing's a faulty kind of experience that we have to go through, right? It might help us to win next time, but then somebody's always losing. And it's the same thing with speech contests, too. It means that, like I said, someone loses. I don't like losing myself. So what's the alternative? If you're trying to be a leader and emulate somebody and follow someone's example as a role model, is that the epitome of leadership? Someone, either a sports star, someone like Michael Jordan or LeBron James, or someone who wants to be as good as an orator as President Trump or Mr. Biden or Mr. Obama, to give you just a few presidents. And they were good, even though Mr. Biden was getting old. In his day, when he was younger, he was pretty good. You have to admit, me being a Republican, I can say that. I don't mind saying good things about people. You see how competition divides us so that we don't have even a positive thing to say about someone. And if you don't have anything good to say, then, well, my mother taught me, if you don't have something nice to say about somebody, don't say nothing at all. But if you're going to criticize them, at least, please, be ready to say some good things about them, like, well, they're a human being. Well, they're alive. If they died tomorrow, would I feel bad? Would I be regretful for having said some things I said about them? Yes, you should be. I hope you would be. My point is, please, you're going to be judged on that final day, that expiration date that we all have coming in the future. Guaranteed. Take it from the Reverend Blake Ruby. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. Your spirit's going to pop out of your body, and you're going to go to that afterlife realm. I can't explain exactly what it will look like. It could be in different locations, but outside the five physical senses. And you will review every single aspect of your life. And in this time, that you said something bad about someone or maybe got into a fight with a boy when you're 5 years old and punched him. You're going to feel that pain. You're going to relive your life review from three different perspectives. One perspective from looking in, seeing it again in the past, what had happened. From the perspective of the way you were then, and from the other person's perspective. And this is to teach you, and this happens to everybody, my friends, to be nicer to your fellow human being. Love thy neighbor, for sure. Always have something good to say about people. They're worthy of respect and dignity. They are. Even somebody who's homeless on the street begging for money. Even for somebody that might get in an argument with you, a stranger. Always be respectful and give that person the dignity they deserve. You don't know what they've been through, how they were raised by their parents, all the experiences they've had, bad experiences, people they may have lost in their lives. They might be heartbroken. Yes, they might be violent, but I'm going to take a drink. If you're going to make the world a better place, and everybody has a duty, a responsibility to make the world a better place, as a citizen of this planet, you will be held accountable for all you do and say. I tell you the truth. So get into practice now. I see it on TV all the time when they're talking, debating certain things about people, about the issues. Those that are pro Mr. Trump, those that are against Mr. Trump, the ones, and it was the same with when the Democrats were in power and Mr. Biden was president. None of them had a good thing to say about the opposition. And that, my friends, is wrong, any way you look at it. And you should know better. They should know better. They have a duty to their fellow human being because they are not invincible. They are not indefinite. They have a date, like I mentioned, in the future where they will meet their creator. Yes, it's true. And they will be held accountable for everything they did in their life. And depending on how they did, will determine if they graduate from this existence with honors or not. If you don't graduate from this kind of planet, which is a category one planet on a scale of 1 to 9, meaning that throughout the universe, it's also known as a planet of sorrows, which means that there has been a lot of killing and war going on in our past. Does anybody want to debate that? No? No objections to that point, that fact? Well, then carrying on. As a planet of sorrows, what does that mean? It means that we're a lower evolved planet. Now, you have to understand, please believe me when I'm telling you, that planet Earth, this world, otherwise known as Mother Gaia, is a cosmic being in her own right, and she too is evolving. This is a beautiful planet throughout the universe. That's why we've had so many extraterrestrial visitors come and visit this planet. Just think of the variety of life here. Over 1 million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish in the oceans, seas, rivers, and lakes, over 10,000 types of birds, over 10,000 types of reptiles, over 9,000 types of amphibians, over 5,000 types of mammals, thousands of different types of flowers and trees, the fruits and vegetables. It's a veritable paradise. But the animals eat each other on this planet. Hey, there's an ecological system. And we're living on this planet, and so we're subjected to that kind of mindset, if you will. It's not an easy place to live in. That's why we've had so many wars. That's one of the reasons why we've been killing people throughout the centuries. Not only that, but Mother Nature is a tremendous force to deal with sometimes. It could be tornadoes or hurricanes, volcanoes exploding, getting struck by lightning. Earthquakes, oh my God. And then there's the atmosphere bearing down on us, the barometer rising and falling. To sum it up, to live here on this planet is a very difficult thing. And life can be very, very hard. So give yourself a pat in the back, please, my friends, for having made it so far. 40,000 people die around the world each day. And about that same number of babies are born. And by the way, there have been more babies aborted in the history of the world than people that have died in all the wars in planet Earth. On this world, less people have died in wars than the number of babies that have been aborted around the world in our past. Did you understand that? I think you did. But those that might object to that kind of statistic is true. And what does that tell us? That our value on life is not as high as it should be. Yes, I understand about mothers and all they have to deal with, and I sympathize and empathize with them. And I know it's a very hard decision when they have to make that decision, decide to have an abortion or not. But they should also understand that there is a realm out there, an afterlife, where these souls come from and go into the babies, their spirits and souls, like we did for 9 months when we were in our mother's wombs. We grew, we developed, our hearts started beating, our souls and our spirits entered that body, and we lived with our mother for 9 months, usually 9 months. We could see through her eyes. We knew most times what she was doing. We could feel her walking around, of course. Isn't that amazing? I'm constantly amazed when I see a pregnant woman. And so they deserve the best from us. And they've been treated badly throughout the years, and still around the world, they're treated worse than animals. And I don't understand that. The mothers of our children. We just had Mother's Day. Belated Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. How we could treat women so badly. But I understand, we're evolving, just like our planet. We too, as human beings, are going through that evolution process. And it's a slow, slow process. From one life to the next, through that reincarnation cycle. Yes, it's true. You're entitled to your opinion if you don't believe me. But I would like you, if you don't believe me, when we get to heaven, to the spirit realm, to that world of light, the afterlife, that you would come up and apologize to me when you see me there and say, Blake, you're right. Reincarnation is real. Because our soul is on a journey, my friends, throughout this huge, humongous universe that we're a part of, that is light years, billions of light years. Do you know how big one light year is? It's an incredible distance, trillions of miles. Alpha Centauri, for example, and Omega Alpha Centauri, and I think it's Omega Centauri, the two closest stars to our sun, are about 4 light years away. And our two Voyager spacecraft launched in the 1970s, traveling at about 40,000 miles an hour. Since then, in 1978, I think, in 79, have just exited our solar system and are traveling towards Alpha Centauri, Proxima, that's it, Proxima Centauri, traveling at 40,000 miles an hour, and it's still going to take them about 15,000 years to get there. And that's only 4 light years away. The center of the universe is 15 billion light years away. Does that give you an inkling? It gives me an inkling of just how large the universe is that we're a part of. And it's an amazing creation that didn't have to happen except for the creator of the universe. Through the Big Bang. In the beginning, there was nothing except for darkness and silence and the creator, the spirit of the creator, an omnipotent, omniscient being, as been alive forever, apparently. We as humans, our brains are hardwired only to understand beginnings and endings. Hard for us to comprehend something that always existed, but apparently so. You can't say which came first, the chicken or the egg. The creator of the universe, the omnipotent, omniscient one, has been in existence forever. And that also is another hard concept to grasp. Infinity, eternity, incredible words. But the creator wanted to grow, to experience feelings from other beings, kind of like how a mother and a father have children, and they get to see themselves in their children, right? The creator wanted to experience that. One can achieve a lot of growth. I think it was the plan that the creator had them to take a drink. To have growth. Is there anything greater than growth, my friends? Can you think of anything greater than growth? I don't believe so. Growth is something that the creator invented, if you will. And we are filling the will of the creator. And this universe is our home, the home that the creator built for us. One solar system at a time, one galaxy at a time, when so many solar systems filled a galaxy. We're going to take another drink. And here we are in the Milky Way galaxy, far, far from the center of the universe. And we have our lives. And then we take all of our experiences, all that we've learned, and we graduate from this existence, hopefully with honors, as I was talking about, if you know what I mean, to have lived a good life, a worthy life, a kind, giving, generous, compassionate life, treating people the way you'd want to be treated, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. Breaking through that negativity of this world, and it's not really in a way intended to bring out the worst, but the best in us. It's a challenging environment so that we can grow. But Mother Gaia, this planet, as I mentioned, is also evolving, ready to evolve to a higher category, a Category 2 planet. And throughout the universe, with these different categories of planets, depending on how you live this life on Earth, how you develop yourself spiritually, how your soul evolve, will determine then what planet you'll go to next. Could it be a level 2, a 3, a 4, where the people there adore each other? There is no fighting, no killing. They learn to live and eat food that is more conducive to their spirituality. They don't need to kill animals and survive eating them. There are other ways to provide the appropriate nutrition to bodies. And make no mistake about it, they have different bodies. I don't judge anyone for what they do here on planet Earth. I was at one time eating everything until I had to make a change in my diet. And I became a vegan in 1999. But I ate everything before then. So I hope you don't judge me. And who knows, maybe I might go back to eating everything. I see some of the food that they show on television and I'm drooling sometimes looking at it. But is there a better way? You know, they came up with all this new food, textured vegetable protein, tofu. I've partaken quite a lot of it myself. What I've learned, though, my friends, is it helps me to develop myself more spiritually by leading a life where I am getting the appropriate amounts of fiber, protein, and my digestion is doing all right. And I know that there are other people like me. Most of the people who live in India are vegetarians. They don't eat cows. Although I just got some powder recently called Morning Kick Roundhouse by Chuck Norris. He made it. And it's got bovine collagen. And I'm debating whether or not I didn't realize it. I should have realized it when I bought it, that it's got this bovine collagen inside. And so as a vegan, that kind of goes against the grain. However, apparently, excuse me, I'm going to take a drink. It has a protein that is present in the human body. And so we need that protein. Excuse me. I went down the wrong way. And that's a big end. I'm going to do a little more research regarding whether or not to continue taking it. I probably won't. But going back to what I was saying, let me go all the way back, changing the subject, to that speech I gave this morning about Jesus, about his leadership style, because that was my objective in my speech. To talk about my leadership style, and as I said to you, I don't want to really emulate, I mean, I respect and I admire a lot of people that you see on television, the politicians, they're great speakers, public speakers, the people that play sports, they're brilliant, their bodies are such amazingly coordinated machines, if you will, like SGA from Oklahoma City, or Anthony Edwards, or Tyrese Halliburton. These superstars, basketball superstars, or hockey players, Connor McDavid, Edmonton Oilers, and I don't remember some of the other players in Dallas and the Florida Panthers, but they are amazing men and women too that are physically gifted, that have talents that far exceed my own. And they are doing their best. That's their job. They're making money through that. I don't judge them. But I'm saying that what's the future of that? Is there another way where we can grow through cooperation, I suggest to you, through reaching across the aisle for loving your fellow human being, for saying good things about each other, for loving and adoring the stranger on the street, the person who's homeless. Look at the spirit inside of them and the very difficult road they chose to humiliate and humble themselves so that we can grow from looking at that and learn. We learn from each other. Don't blind your eyes to the truth while you're still alive so that when you get over to the other side, you will have a lot of regret and remorse for not having known better. Now is the time to know. Change your beliefs to knowledge. Bridge that gap between belief and knowledge. You know there's life out there. All the life here, logically, it could happen by accident anywhere in the universe. Bridge that gap between belief and knowledge. If there is a creator who is omnipotent and omniscient, logically, that creator would have the power and knowledge to create even the same or different life anywhere in the universe. Bridge the gap between belief and knowledge and know that we're not alone in the universe. We don't have to have that mindset like they did 500 some years ago when they thought the world was flat. Millions of people like you and me now thought the world was flat, who lived their lives walking around on this planet, waking up in the morning, going to bed at night, thinking the world was flat. And then until Copernicus told us otherwise, we thought that the Earth was at the center of the universe. And now we realize that we're just revolving around our sun, and our sun is revolving around the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and our galaxy is revolving around the center of the universe. Now we're stuck in that gap, not knowing for sure if there's life out there. Any ETs listening to my radio show? I think they might be interested in what I have to say. I'm helping to make the world a better place, and I'm proud of it. Many thanks to BBS Radio for airing my show over the years. I'm going on my eighth year. In the beginning, I had my show for twice a month. Now it's once a week. If you want to be on my show, if you want to talk about whatever extraterrestrial phenomena, near-death experiences, whatever, mainly the metaphysical, spiritual stuff, though, please contact BBS Radio and be specific. Tell them you'd like to be on Blake's show. I get all these guest submissions, and I've read some of them, and most of them, I'm sorry to say, with all due respect, I'm not really interested in. I am 70 years old. I have very few years ahead of me. More of my years are behind me, if you know what I mean. And I'm only interested in the really hardcore spirituality stuff, the butt-kicking spiritual truth, so to speak. Number one, at least one guest has a show on BBS Radio, or they did before, called the ASS Kicking Truth. And that's what I talk about, too. Reality, not fantasy, my friends. I'm more concerned with reality. If you want to be on my show, be specific, let them know. And anytime you feel like calling in too, and you got something good to say, otherwise, you know, please don't waste my time. If you've got a point of contention, or if you want to share some knowledge, please feel free to do so. I tell everyone about my radio show, but do you think they would listen? I don't know. They haven't told me. And what does that teach me? What does that inform me? Just what I knew all the time, my friends, that we are all co-creator gods in the making. What does that mean? It means that you are a soul evolving in this universe from one lifetime to the next. You're going to go to the afterlife where the spirit lives, because you have a spirit in your body. I do too. It's going to pop out when we die. It's going to look down on your body that you left, and you're going to feel maybe an attachment to it, and maybe look at just how handsome you were. But you're going to also realize that it was nothing more than just like a coat, shedding a coat. It was utilized by you as like a vehicle so that you could get through this life, learn what you could learn, grow as much as you could, learn to love, be a friendly, generous person, helpful, always serving your fellow human being, and then you're ready to graduate to a higher existence. Oh, take my word for it, my friends. There are some beautiful other planets out there with more highly evolved civilizations that are just waiting for you to join them, being born again into their civilization, and their technology is so much more better. How about that? So much more better than ours. And most of them have propulsion systems that are anti-gravity, electromagnetic, and they can travel throughout the universe in a very quick fashion, and they explore other star systems. Wouldn't you want to be a part of that and get away from this cycle of Category 1 planets of sorrows, killing and war? You don't want to be born again, my friends, on a planet, another planet like this throughout the universe, or possibly even coming back to this one. How many people have died in Palestine? Over 40,000. Now, on one hand, I understand the way the Israelis feel after October the 7th. 1,400 of their fellow Israeli citizens were slaughtered in not so nice ways, I might add. And they've been persecuted throughout the years. in World War II, especially when 6 million Jews were killed by the Nazis. But, and I've said this before, the reason is because the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, are from another planet. They came to this planet from a superior category of evolution planet. It's a long story. And I've said it before on previous shows. A planet called Hebra. They were from, I'm not sure if it was a category 2 or 3, their spaceship landed on Earth, as a lot of spaceships do and have in the past, because this, as I mentioned, is a veritable jewel in the universe, our planet. Even though we befouled the airs and the waters with pollution, can you imagine what this Earth looked like maybe 1,000 years ago before the Industrial Revolution and spilling carbon monoxide into the air and polluting the waters? It was so beautiful. Go back maybe 10,000 years ago, just incredibly beautiful. The waters, pristine and pure. The air, different than it is now, suffice it to say. And these people from Hebra landed on our planet because the ETs out there are interested in our planet. You know, they want to see it. They want to they love our planet. And being superior beings, a more civilized people, they see this planet as like a gift from the Creator that is to be respected and admired, revered, and treated well. We haven't treated our planet so well. Even now, we're taking oil from underneath the ground. And I question myself, I wonder just how much more oil we have underneath the ground. Is there an unlimited supply? I don't think so. And I'm as guilty as the next person, except for the ones that have electric vehicles. I have a 4-cylinder Toyota Camry, and I guess I could buy an electric car. I'm still thinking about it because I don't want to pollute our atmosphere, you know. Same thing with the water. We've been spilling our sewage into our oceans, seas, rivers, and lakes for many years now. I don't think we're beyond the point of no return, but we should treat our planet very well because it is truly a gift. For the chance to live here and be a part of this environment, even though, as I mentioned, it is hard, and it's meant to be that way so that we can learn. It's meant to be challenging. And these people from Hebra landed on their spaceship to take care of some repairs that they needed. They realized the danger, according to universal law. People from a superior planet can't go down to an inferior planet. And likewise, people from an inferior planet can't advance to a superior planet without having done so through the regular process, if you know what I mean, a normal process of living a life and then transitioning to the afterlife and then being born on another planet. So universal law decrees that you can't, there are some exceptions. There is a limited amount of time. For example, in the book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, which is my favorite book, Michael Desmarquette, the author, was abducted. Well, maybe that's not really a fair word to use, but he was taken to a ninth category planet called Thiaouba, Thiaouba, in the Milky Way galaxy. And there it is a veritable paradise, a category 9, which I wouldn't mind reincarnating on in the future. And it's as close to heaven, if you will, the spirit world, the world of light out there, as close to a heaven as you can imagine. Animals don't eat each other. The water and air is pure and pristine. They have huge trees there. Animals live in harmony. The beings that live there are very, extremely intelligent, very evolved, and they have guardianship of our planet. The extraterrestrials are hermaphrodite, which means they're like transgender, which we shouldn't bash. The people living on Earth who are transgender should be respected because they're born that way and because there are other beings throughout the universe who are like them. Why are they born here, you might ask? To help us to love each other, because don't you know we've had some problems with that before in the past with all the war and killing? The same with gay people who have usually, most of them have the spirit of the opposite sex in their body. I see them all the time. I can recognize them pretty much. Some are a little bit more difficult to recognize, but some are very obvious to me. I don't know if you can tell also. A man could have a female spirit in his body. A female could have a male spirit. I see it all the time. And again, as with transgender, these people should be respected because theirs is a very difficult life, having to endure all that they have been through here, the ridicule, the nastiness that people have showed them because they're frightened of what they do. But between you and me, what people do behind their own doors is up to them. We have no business involving ourselves in people's lives as long as they don't harm us, right? And if they want to take drugs, if they're an adult, or drink themselves to death with tequila or whiskey behind their own doors, then in my opinion, they should be allowed to do that. Now, don't get me wrong. I think drugs are a veritable curse. You shouldn't need that artificial high. No one should need it. But I can't judge people for doing that. I understand that some people have very difficult lives and have been treated very badly. Even their parents didn't give them the love, still don't love them the way they should have. If you know what I mean. Some grow up in a single-parent environment. I'm going to take, hold on just a second, please. I had to get another bottle of water. I'm back. So these beings from the planet Thyuba are amazing, very intelligent beings. One of them actually chose to come to Earth as Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, because don't you know the world was in a very bad state of affairs back then? And the time was ripe for divine intervention. There was murder, rape. There was bestiality. And the world was heading towards self-destruction. So a plan was come up with to help save the world. And it's in that book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet. To give you an idea of who Jesus was. Think about the movie Avatar. You know how they put themselves in those blue bodies? Well, the elders, if you will, I use the word elder, from the planet Thyuba, who has guardianship of us, they're one of the three most technologically and spiritually advanced in the Milky Way galaxy, and this is the truth, I'm telling you. Their spacecrafts now are circular in shape, about 70 meters in diameter. They can travel 7 times the speed of light and go interdimensional, too. And if you had an encounter with them, you would be blown away by their intelligence and their life. Just, they are larger-than-life beings, as are many others throughout the universe. Take the Virgins, for example, who are trying to make contact with us, and they are parked behind, the last I heard, they are stationed behind the moon, out of sight, from, for the most part, from our devices, our technology. And they are kind of like the opposite from the beings on Thayaúba. They are the stereotypical gray aliens, about 5 feet high. Their skin color varies, be grayish or tannish or a little tinge of green. Big dark eyes, kind of pointed ears, slanted eyes a little bit. Also extremely, extremely intelligent. And their spaceship as well are capable of traveling at faster than light speeds. And they too can go interdimensional into a parallel universe, if you will, where thought governs travel, thought governs everything. It's an amazing concept, isn't it? They say that that's how the universe was created and still is being created, by thought. Have you ever heard of the superstring theory? It says that all matter is nothing more than ribbons or strings of energy vibrating at a certain frequency. And they attract or repel each other. And when they attract, they start coalescing. And that's how matter forms. But the really interesting thing is that all matter, at its inception, is nothing more than a powerful thought. In other words, our thoughts create. Or they don't. The choice is up to you. The words you use make a difference. That's why it behooves us to be careful with our words, my friends. How am I doing on time? In a few more minutes. So let me get back to Jesus, my speech this morning. I talked about the miracles that Jesus performed. All those miracles, you know them, right? Turning water into wine, the healing of the lepers, the blind, the paralyzed, raising people from the dead to include Lazarus, calming the seas, walking on the water, the Sermon on the Mount. Are you even interested at all about how he did that, or you just accepted? Well, suffice it to say that it really did happen, and you know that they didn't make that up. That is not fantasy. Those miracles really, really did happen. So my point in my speech this morning was, I want to be like Jesus. He was my quintessential ultimate leader that I want to emulate, because no one here on earth is at that level where I'm going to follow them, because they don't have all the answers. Now, I'll listen to people. I'll hear what they have to say. But after a while, I think, well, I might have learned some things, but most people can't tell me anything I don't already know. And Jesus, on the other hand, is someone who is worthy of emulation, who we can follow. Not only the miracles and how he performed in each one, and I know I have an idea of how he did that. For example, raising Lazarus from the dead. When Lazarus died, you have to understand that these extraterrestrials have beam technology, and they can beam themselves anywhere on the planet, just like in Star Trek. This is true. It's real. With all that advanced technology being in existence millions and more years than our own civilization, you know how far we've come with our technology. Just imagine if we had a few more hundreds of thousands of years to develop our technology, just how advanced it would be. Well, then you would have an inkling of just how great their technology is. And beam technology, beaming people from one location to another, is a simple thing. So they had a plan in place, a plan that they had to carry out from the birth of the baby in Bethlehem to the Star of Bethlehem up ahead, up above, shining a light down on the manger, to when Jesus was crucified on the cross, taken from his tomb, taken aboard the spaceship again, brought back to life, had his wounds healed, and beamed back into a certain location where then he met the disciples and Mary Magdalene. And he walked around for 40 days. Wouldn't you have loved to see the faces of the people that saw him? There's a good movie called Risen, R-I-S-E-N. There was a Roman centurion, a tribune, in that movie. It's a great movie. Please watch it. And he saw Jesus hanging up there on the cross, dead as a doornail. And then he saw him again afterwards, without going into too many details. And he was just blown away. He dropped his sword, sunk down on the floor against the wall, and was looking at Jesus sitting there in the room. And he gave up working for the Roman army at that time and followed Jesus because he saw him there after the resurrection. And then Jesus eventually ascended up into the clouds, got aboard the spaceship. And I don't know what happened after that. It's possible that his spirit, which was taken from the body he had on Thyatira, kind of again like an avatar, right? Am I losing you? I hope not. And he might be there waiting on that world of light over there in the distance, that spirit world where the spirit can live in the fire. Spirits can live in fire because they're made of spirit, light energy, my friends. Light energy. Don't let me lose you. Light energy. You know what that is? Spirits are made of light energy. And you have a spirit in your body. We are spirits in the material world. Your spirit will pop out of your body when you die. Also about Jesus, he was a great public speaker. Think of all the people he spoke with. The Sermon on the Mount, he taught them how to pray. The Pharisees talking in front of them, arguing, debating. Think about how difficult it would have been to change the mindset of the people back then from the law of Moses to Jesus' new law. Love one another, love thy neighbor, do unto others as you would have done unto you. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. How difficult that would have been to convince them. You would need miracles. And all those miracles that he performed were part of why, even today, we still believe in Jesus. Am I right? You going to take a drink? Not only that, my friends, we would not be here, alive, existing on this planet today, if it wasn't for Jesus. And what he did, that wonderful plan put into effect by those advanced extraterrestrial beings, we wouldn't be alive today because, as I mentioned, the world was heading down that road of self-destruction 2,000 years ago with all the evil and negativity going on. They saw it. The time was right for divine intervention, and their plan worked. Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. And if you think that Jesus died for our sins, well, think again, because guess what? He came back to life. So what does that say? He didn't really die. If you need redemption from your sins, my friends, pray for it. You don't need an intermediary. You have a mother and father God, creators of your soul and your spirit. And make no mistake, the Father God wants a woman by his side. He has a queen. He's a king. He has a queen, although they're both equal. They made your soul and your spirit, and you will meet them, guaranteed. Don't make a mistake. Wind up on the other side and regret not having known better. Jesus is a co-creator God, just like us, striving to be like our mother and father God. So when they reach that epitome of their spiritual development, their soul's evolution, when they are ready to be co-creators with the creator of the universe, and by using those words, like it says in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word was with God, you will not, just could not, and I could not, really comprehend the power of words and their ability to create worlds, suns, space, spirit children, animal life, plant life. It's true. Your spirit will pop out of your body. Your spirit is made of billions of electrons. And you're going to resemble what you look like right now, although you can change, you can alter your image. It's an amazing facet of being a spirit. You won't look old if you're old when you die. You won't have glasses. Your teeth will be perfect. And you can look like someone else, too. It's called the configuring spirit. But you will maintain your essence that ball of light. You are light. And the goal of this light, as I've said before in other radio shows, is to increase the intensity of your soul's lamp. And you do that by spiritual development, developing yourself spiritually and evolving your soul. It's your own show on BBS Radio. Watch YouTube videos of near-death experiences and extraterrestrial phenomena. You know they're out there. They come and they visit us at nighttime, faster than the speed of light. And all I can say is to them, those ETs that are visiting, come to us, please. I know you know more than I know. And you've seen it before, but I pray that we will survive as a human race. I've got 1 minute, less than 1 minute, my friends. And we will evolve our souls. That's the main thing. Even if our civilization doesn't survive, strive to reach the highest levels of spiritual development and your soul's evolution as you can. The rest will take care of itself. And remember, God, the Creator, loves us unconditionally, and that's the overall Creator and the Mother and Father God. Everything is the way it's supposed to be, and everything will be all right. Creator, please bless us, everybody. We love you. Thank you. Amen. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.